You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Women in STEM podcast that focuses on the intersectionality of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We focus on how we can amplify the voices of women in STEM and make them aware of the multiple different career opportunities that are available.
Hello, welcome to the Women in STEM podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Hi, everyone. I am Fig O'Reilly.
That's such a beautiful name, Fig. Can you tell us a bit about the history about it? I'm just really intrigued.
Oh, sure. Well, Fig is a nickname for Fionnuala, which is my first name. I'm Fionnuala O'Reilly, and both of those names, as you can tell kind of from the last name, but they're Irish. And my first name is spelled with 11 letters and a silent G. So over time, the nickname just got shortened to Fig.
Yes, I can definitely understand that. I wanted to kind of go into your STEM background. As you know, this is the Women in STEM podcast, and we like to amplify the voices of women in STEM. And I know that you've studied systems engineering, and that is a very great major to do. And I was kind of wondering, like, why you chose to do that major and what you learned from it.
Oh, well, I chose to do a degree in systems engineering because I knew that I wanted to become an engineer. And when I was in high school, learning all about the different types of engineering and what it really looked like to work in a career path with a degree in, you know, all sorts of fields of engineering. I guess what drew me specifically to systems engineering was the idea that you could apply systems thinking to just about anything. And, you know, a lot of systems engineers, they design, integrate, and manage very complex systems by working with a lot of different team members. And I love working with people. And yeah, so those are just a few of the reasons why I specifically chose systems engineering. A huge reason also was because you can apply systems engineering to a very wide variety of industries. And at the time, I wasn't specifically sure what industry I wanted to work in.
I find that so interesting. And yeah, I love to highlight on this podcast all the different careers that are available to us that most people don't really think about becoming a systems engineer. I wanted to kind of touch on your experience during your time at NASA and kind of tell us a bit more about what you were doing and what that experience was like.
Sure. So I became what is called a NASA data nut after I graduated from the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Shout out to the DMV. I went to GW, studied systems engineering, and afterwards I began working in data science, which is where the data in Datanaut comes from. The program operated out of NASA headquarters, and it was an open innovation program for women in data. So NASA had this idea of, hey, let's get more women into the fold. And I worked with some really awesome people, specifically to hone my data science capabilities. And that's exactly what we did. It was also the very first time that I got to embark upon science communication. I was able to stand up my own program called Empowerment Through Coding because I was a coder girl. And I thought it was really great to be able to share some of the science that NASA was doing with young women. So I partnered with organizations like Girls Who Code to be able to bring some of NASA's projects to their audience. For example, I covered NASA's InSight mission to Mars, flew out to California, and I got to go behind the scenes at the Vandenberg Air Force Base and cover the launch of the InSight mission, which was sending a lander to Mars to be able to collect data from Mars's interior, which would ultimately, help for future missions. Fingers crossed, being able to send people to Mars. Another mission I covered was NASA's ATOM mission, ATOM, and that it was a mission that is no longer in effect, but ultimately it was to cover what's kind of going on in Earth's atmosphere. I think a lot of people, when they think of NASA, they think of space and space exploration, which is a huge component of what the organization does, but also a massive pillar in NASA's science foundation is Earth science, being able to use what you have to learn more about the planet that we live here on. And so being able to share that with, audiences like Girls Who Code was really great because it was the first step for me into the world of science communication.
And I'm really curious just to hear about your zero gravity experience. Like how did it feel to have a weightless experience, and what did this experience mean to you personally and professionally?
Well, I have to say, as someone who never thought that they would wind up working at the intersection of media and science, but specifically the space industry, it was an absolutely fantastic experience. When I think about 5, 10 years down the road, or even further, a huge goal of mine would be to go to space. I think for all the right reasons, and for me, that would be for opening up inroads for other young women, for other people who may not see themselves in that kind of space. But space is for everyone, and space exploration is for everyone. And so it would be a dream of mine to be able to go to space and advocate on an even larger platform for women and girls in STEM. So one of the awesome things that you can do on that journey is do a zero gravity flight. And as a correspondent on Mission Unstoppable, which is an incredible television series that spotlights women in STEM, I go around the country and I meet with really incredible people and I learn about their jobs and we go on fun adventures to kind of uncover what they're doing in their jobs. And I went out to California. And I interviewed Michelle Peters, who works for Zero Gravity. And she taught me all about the microgravity experiments that they do on some of their flights and got to fly specifically in a zero gravity plane, which is specifically outfitted for these what are called zero gravity flights. And for anyone who is thinking, oh, what even is that? What does that look like? You have an airplane that, if you're starting with the inside, you remove the seats from the front of the plane and it's padded with all of these it's padded on the inside. So as you experience zero gravity on the flight, of course, you're safe and protected. So there's a couple of seats in the back. You get on the flight, and what makes it different than any other flight you've ever taken if you've been on an airplane is the flight pattern. So the flight pattern is that of a parabola. So you're going up to a very high peak, and then the nose of the plane kind of takes a dive, and then you're going down. And then you repeat that process. You level off and then go up again until you hit a peak, and then you go down. And that specific flight pattern ultimately enables the people on the inside of the aircraft to experience weightlessness or zero gravity. And depending on the angle of the parabola, you will also be able to experience, for example, a simulation of Martian gravity or the gravity on the moon. And that's exactly what we did. I believe we did 17 parabolas. So got to experience weightlessness about 17 times, and it was incredible. You know, you get to physically test yourself and see how you do. And I had a great time, and it was really great to be able to share that experience with anyone who watches the show.
Yes, that really sounds like super interesting experience. Switching gears, I want to talk about 2019. You made history as being the first woman of color to win Miss Universe Ireland. Walk me through your decision into competing. As a systems engineer with NASA on your resume, what made you say yes to entering a beauty pageant?
Well, I didn't grow up doing pageants. My very first pageant was in college. I very much so was a sports kid. I come from a military family. And so one of the consistents in my life was my education, but also sports. And when I went to college, I knew that I wanted to try things that maybe were new and unfamiliar to me. And pageantry was one of those things. My freshman year of college, I was balancing, at the time, my family was living in Italy, and I got signed to my very first modeling agency. And so I was spending time at school at GW in Washington, D.C., studying engineering. And then I would take a semester off here and there to go back to Milan and focus on modeling. And I really enjoyed that balance. And as time continued, I wondered, how could I start to integrate all of these interests that I really care about? And as a freshman in college, I discovered that pageantry could be a really great way to bring a lot of my interests together, but also to share more about what I was doing as an engineer and my passion for advocacy, which is something also that pageantry helps give you a platform to do. So I decided to compete for the Miss Freshman pageant, and I wound up winning that pageant, which was a wonderful experience. I met a lot of other women, and they became friends of mine in school. And I realized that this was a really great way to start to use my voice more, but also bring some of the different interests that I have together. And so later on, after learning more about the pageant industry, I mean, I grew up and I remembered seeing Miss Universe on television here and there, and hearing about other pageants, of course. But as I started to grow and learn about the pageant industry, I knew that if I was going to continue to compete, the ultimate win for me would be if I got to compete at Miss Universe. And when I really thought about who I was and the journey that I was on and what I wanted to contribute with my messaging, I knew that competing for Miss Universe Ireland would be especially meaningful to me. As someone who is both Black American and Irish, who's from a military family, heavily influenced by my multicultural identity, I think that that was such a perfect way for me to step into this very competitive world of pageantry at that point.
You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about. But if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, That's actually why I want to mention Trust and Will. Trust and Will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
It no longer was, you know, a pageant in college. So ultimately, I moved back to Ireland and I competed in Miss Universe Ireland, and in 2019 became the first woman of color to win that title and then go on to compete at Miss Universe.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm curious to know, like, what were the first thoughts that were running through your mind when they announced the winner, as well as what was the reaction from the STEM community?
Oh, when they announced my name, it really was like a living dream. You know, you think about a moment like that for so long, and you prepare and you prepare and you prepare. But when they did announce my name, it was absolutely fantastic. There was confetti that fell from the sky, and my family was out in the crowd, and they had these little lights that spelled out my name in the crowd, which was great because if you have a name like mine, Fionnuala, which is 11 letters long, but we had 17 people in the crowd, you know, it was really great to have them there in the audience with me. And I mean, it just was very surreal, and it felt like the culmination of a lot of hard work, but it also felt bigger than me. It felt like a moment that was more than just about the work and preparation, but it felt like, because in that, it was a very large responsibility. And I hope, looking back, that, you know, the legacy that I'll leave in the pageant community is nothing but positive, in that it opened up lanes for others to go on and tell their stories. I think at the root of a lot of the things that a lot of the journeys that I'm on now is storytelling and being able to share more stories with people. That's been hugely important to me then and also now.
And the second part of the question was kind of highlighting what was the reaction from the STEM community?
Let's see. The reaction from the STEM community was really positive. I think overall, the reaction from all sorts of communities was really positive. When I think of my journey so far, it really lies at the intersection of what can seemingly come off as very opposing identities or demographics or stories, but there are more people at the intersection of things that sometimes at the very forefront, they seem very opposite. But I had a great response from the STEM community, which was really wonderful, because I think it just showed that, hey, women can be many things. They can be multifaceted. You can compete in a beauty pageant and still be very serious about contributing positive things in the engineering world for a better future for everybody. And I'm very thankful for that.
That's wonderful to hear. I'm curious to know if you have any practical tips for somebody who is kind of in a similar predicament as you, where they have multiple interests and they're trying to pursue them, if you have any advice as to how they can make sure that they maintain their professionalism across all their interests.
Ooh, that's such an interesting question about how they can maintain their professionalism across their interests. Well, I think like any job, it's constant navigation and figuring out what works best for you, but what also helps you overcome obstacles as they come. I like to adopt an engineering mindset in that, you know, no matter what obstacle comes your way, figuring out a way around, over, under, through, whatever you got to do in order to make it work, right? I think finding ways that work authentically with who you are the most important.
Now let's talk a bit more around present day and what you're currently working on. So now you're the correspondent for CBS's Mission Unstoppable. How did this opportunity come to be about, and what's your favorite aspect about being a part of this TV show?
Ooh, how did it come about? I started on Mission Unstoppable as a correspondent in 2020, which, if we go back, we all remember was quite a crazy time. There was an global pandemic, and it was a wild time for most people. Many people were at home working. You know, it was business casual on top. You were wearing pajama bottoms on bottom. You know, but I auditioned for the show. I do speak about a lot of the work that I do and advocate with my platforms for women and education and science and technology. And so I share a lot of what that looks like through my platforms. And I auditioned for the show. And yeah, the summer of 2020, I started filming as a correspondent. And it was a very different experience filming then. I as a correspondent, I travel all over the country and I meet with incredible people. And so, you know, you go where the story is. And at the time, travel was pretty challenging. But now, you know, restrictions are lifted. It's much different than in 2020. Yeah, it's been great working with the show. Can you remind me what the second part of that question was?
The second part of the question is basically, what's your favorite part?
Oh, my favorite part. Well, my favorite part is having fun with whoever it is that I'm speaking with and learning about. It really spans the gamut. You know, the different people that I meet, their jobs. I mean, I learn so much from them as well. I have my own vertical in engineering, but everybody in STEM has their own vertical. And so you get to deep dive into what these people are doing. And a lot of their jobs are just fun. You know, they have a great time and it's really awesome for me as I would consider myself a curious person. And being able to learn about what they do and then do some of that stuff hands-on is really fun. So it really is the everyday change and experience that I get to have that I just really enjoy learning and being able to share what I learn with other people.
And I wanted to know if you can touch on a bit about your work with Broadway. Is this new endeavor going to be like a departure from STEM, or are you still planning to integrate what you've learned from your degree as well as what you've done on your show?
So a couple of years ago, I started a production company and I am now a co-producer for a couple of Broadway shows. The first is The Wiz, the revival of The Wiz, which was a fantastic show. And most recently, Othello, which is just also, it was such a great show to be a part of. And for me, I think that the world of STEM, there is an intersection with the arts. And you know, we even hear the acronym STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. I think that when it comes to creating a brighter future for everybody, at the core of that is our humanity and what makes people people. And a huge part of that is telling stories and understanding people and keeping that very human element. So for me, it doesn't feel like a departure from STEM. I think it feels like growth and an extension.
You are somebody who holds many incredible titles and achievements. I just wanted to know, have you ever dealt with imposter syndrome? As well as, what advice do you have for somebody who looks up to you and they might be experiencing imposter syndrome?
I'm sure maybe at some point I might have, but to be honest, I don't deal with imposter syndrome anymore. And I think that we have to work towards getting to a place where we say, hey, whoa, don't even let that touch you. You know, you deserve to be here. You know, everybody has their own journey. And I think working on confidence and building up that confidence in yourself and what you have to offer is so important so that when you do show up, you show up as your full self and you're ready to contribute. And I think when you're able to do that, with your full confidence, then that's the most important thing. For anybody struggling with imposter syndrome, I mean, I wouldn't even focus on it for if myself. When I think about maybe times that I did, I think I didn't really focus on it, and I just focused on what made me feel like a better version of myself. And yeah, and I think that's overall what's helped me is not focusing on anything negative or any little anxiety spiral, focusing instead on building myself up and stepping into every room feeling like the best version of myself.
Fantastic. We're now finally coming to the last question I have to ask you, which is if you could send a message to your younger self, maybe to the first day when you were at uni or anything else, what would you tell her and what's next for you?
I'd probably tell a younger version of myself, girl, you're doing it. You're doing it. Honestly, there's nothing I would change or tell myself that would be different. I think it would just be words of encouragement because the finula, the fig that I was then, is the reason I'm the person that I am now. So, if anything, it would just be words of encouragement. I would not change a thing in the world. It would just be like, yes, girl, do it. You got this. And that's what I would say to myself.
And what's next in your world, and how can people keep up to date with you?
What's next for me? Oh, you will just have to see. I think I am the queen of doing things that just feel right. And that's kind of how I live my life. I never have a set plan. I think at the end of the day, I have an idea. I have a hope. I have an overarching goal of where I want things to go. I want to say it's Oprah Winfrey that she. I feel like I've heard her say, "You have to know where you want to go in order for you to be able to get there." And sometimes that's the hardest thing. I'm paraphrasing here, but sometimes that's the hardest thing that you have to define for yourself is where you eventually want to go. But I'm very open to what that journey looks like. It could be very unique, and who knows what's coming around the corner. But ultimately, I feel like I'm in a great creative space, and I hope to continue to work with really awesome people to share more stories that create positive impacts for the broader community, but also inspire people and make them feel entertained and joyful. So, yeah, I think we'll just have to wait to see.
Yes, I'm definitely feeling very inspired and entertained from listening to you answer these questions. So I'm really, really looking forward to what the future has in store for you. Thank you so much for coming on the Women in STEM podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite streaming platform, leave a review and rating to help us reach more listeners, and follow our social medias, the latest updates and behind the scene content. Join us next week for another exciting episode. And until then, keep exploring the world of STEM and empowering women in STEM.